Dan, you have your finger on the pulse of this year's presidential election here in the U.S. And specifically, you've been paying close attention to how big data is being used to drive the election. Last Friday, you wrote about how data around elections used to be relatively unstructured, let's say. Later, you know, the kind of data points were added to a database technology. I have to imagine that was a lot of time-consuming manual labor to add that structure to make the data more useful. But things are much different now. It almost seems like election data is kind of on the same playing field as marketing data for business. Explain what campaigns are doing now that's so different.
Yeah, so the first disclaimer for every audience is that we're not covering the horse race itself. You know, we have nothing invested in who wins, and I am personally invested in the most dramatic storyline possible. I've no political horse in the race and never have, never will. That said, this is a fascinating campaign. So in data has been structured in the tech world in really particular ways. But when you think about what it takes to win a campaign, it's really similar to the first like 18 months or so of a startup. You start with an idea, right? And then a few principal characters around that idea. But the characters have to be pretty competent, right? If you're a CEO or a president of a new startup, is pretty analogous to the candidate, and the staff around that person have to build a ground operation. You have to learn to add people in a real L-curve kind of way. And then you have to exploit your environment in order to beat your opponent. And by exploit your environment, I mean you have to convert customers. You have to get people on board. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we had this emergence of traditional, now legacy media, and door-to-door retail politics was the name of the game. In the industry, they call it micro-targeting. This is something that was pioneered really by Karl Rove and the Bush campaigns in Texas, and then later for president. And by micro-targeting, I mean the door knockers who come canvas at your house with the clipboard and they ask you questions, or they put things in your mailbox, or they call you. All of this micro-targeting, all of this outreach previously was kind of unstructured. You know, names of people, your address, that would all kind of float around. Then came the Obama campaign in 2008 and the Obama campaign again in 2012. And what they did is structure data in ways that are now in 2016 pretty mature. And a lot of companies kind of realized in the tech world as well that, hey, we have these pretty cool open source technologies that we take for granted, one being MySQL, but databasing technology of all sorts really allowed structured data. And in tech, we know what that means, but structured data to be applied to the campaigns. Now, what this data has done is allow micro-targeting to happen on a vast scale. I don't just mean more door knockers. I mean simulations that are run. The Obama campaign in 2012, and now every campaign, every smart campaign in 2016, looks at not just a state, not just a region in a state, but down to the counties. There is a company called L2 that will sell data that is down to I can look myself up in L2 and it has information that nobody else has about me, including my salary range, my marital status, my neighborhood. Really specific information is being bought and sold about not just specific demographics of voters, but really specific information like who you are and what is likely to convert you from being somebody who is interested in a candidate or a campaign, or you could look at it as a business, you're interested in a product, converts that person into being an active voter. And we saw this play out in Iowa and then again through the primary process. The Ted Cruz campaign did a great job of buying data and applying it to micro-targeting in a ground campaign. And he won in Iowa. The Donald Trump campaign then saw behind the scenes, they realized what the Cruz campaign was doing, and they got wise. They bought data and started crunching the numbers. Of course, the Clinton campaign has been doing this for a real long time. In fact, They have some of the best minds from Silicon Valley building a data machine on the back end for the Clinton campaign that will really help her do outreach and convert potential voters. So it's been a really interesting trail, pun intended, but seeing the evolution of data from a really kind of loose-knit, we don't know who you are, we might, to now they know exactly who you are and exactly what you might do. It's fascinating.
Where is this data exactly being pulled? Because, I mean, the door knockers, as you were saying, like, which I, by the way, I have, feel like I have not seen in a really, really long time. I remember when that was a thing, and I feel like that never happens anymore because obviously it doesn't have to. But where
you live in California.
Maybe that's
it. Or talk to somebody from Iowa or New Hampshire.
Okay, fair enough. That's probably exactly it. But where is that specific data coming from? You're saying, you know, information that you didn't even know was out there and you're finding it on these databases. Is that coming? I mean, is there any kind of crosstalk with, like, ad networks that are selling information about people or, like, where's that data coming from?
Yeah, some of it comes from advertising network. A lot of it comes from the company. I'm indexing, I'm profiling every company that is involved in political data over the last few weeks at Tech Republic and the upcoming weeks. And the company we just spoke to, NGP Van, they work on the Democratic side, but there are analogs on the GOP side, and they added data from the door knockers, from canvassers, right? They would take this data and then really add it to databases and then refine it and cross-tabulate it with stuff like social media data, you know, any type of loyalty cards that you may have used or purchased in the past. That's how they get a lot of your salary range. Right. And then that information can be cross-referenced in really specific tools. There's a website called Nation Builder, which is just brilliant. And Nation Builder will take different types of structured data and then overlay it on top of each other. L2 will overlay it on top of a map and then give you breakdowns of, you know, are you a likely gun owner? Are you a likely, you know, Captain Crunch cereal buyer? You know, it'll let you kind of see this audience is just slightly different than that audience.